Kay Show. I am so excited today. I have been following my guests for a very long time. As you know, I've done quite a few shows on what is going on in Africa because our government and our press totally ignores it. But we got the best source for news from Africa, but also he is a White House correspondent and he is a brave man who is fighting the system for all of us. Thank you for joining me, Simon Atiba. I am very glad to have you here.
Thank you, Mel. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. First and foremost, I wanted the audience that might not know, you have been on Tucker. He's given a little bit of publicity what's going on with you. But honestly, what is happening to you in the White House? We're all watching the censorship and the Twitter files and all this stuff be revealed. But we're not really seeing it straight on to actual journalists, especially one as esteemed as yourself from a foreign nation, be treated the way that you're being treated. So if you could talk a little bit about what is going on with you, with the White House press corps, and how this happened?
So thank you for having me again. Sure. You know, I'm glad to be here. Every time someone gives me an opportunity to explain what's going on between U.S. and Africa relations, I'm always glad. So what's going on at the White House is the press secretary, she's totally incompetent, and the people at the WACA, which is the White House Correspondents Association, they are coming out to help. A week ago, they informed me that they won't renew my membership to be a member of the WACA. For those who don't cover the White House, those who don't know what the WACA does, right, is they provide access to the president. When the president travels to any country or even to Delaware, to his home state, the WACA arranges the pool for him. So who will be with the president, who will be, you know, covering the president while he's away. The WACA also arranges for seat in the briefing room. As you know, they are just 49 seat in the White House briefing room. It's a small place. And so the WACA arranges those ones. They don't determine who comes to the White House. As I have a hard pass, I will still be covering the White House, but they are trying to limit my access to ask the real questions. And what's going on is, if you do the right thing, if you ask the right questions, if you decide not to send your topics in quote or your questions in advance to the press secretary, what they do is they don't call on you. They blacklist you, they sideline you, they make sure, because you're not playing by the rule, you're not playing by the game, by their own game, which means you need to send questions in advance or topics in advance or try to befriend the press secretary. Right. And if you don't do those things, you are seen as a danger. And, you know, that's what is happening to me. My failure to abide by the rules, my failure to play by their own rules, which is actually, those rules don't actually benefit the American people and right, even the American allies.
Yeah, and what's scary is how do you get into that White House press corps? Because it seems a little, not really on the up and up how to even get in that, but certainly how to get kicked out of it is even more bizarre.
Yeah, so it's tough, right? A part of the White House, you need to be a journalist. I've been a journalist, my first degree in journalism, second degree in journalism. I've not done anything else. I don't do business. I don't sell houses. I've done only one thing. I've been arrested, you know, while doing my journalism job, attacked by pirates on the Gulf of Guinea, kept in a cell, kidnapped. I've paid my dues. I know how tough, you know, this job can be. Right. So to be a journalist, to be covering the White House, there are a lot of criteria, right? But, you know, the first one is you need to be a journalist and you need to be covering the White House and it's tough. So even when you finally get to the White House, the questions are actually given to the same set of people, right? Just the first and the second rows. So most people get discouraged because right, eventually, after struggling to gain access to the White House, when you finally gain access to the White House, you can spend 2 years in the White House and you are never called on.
That is unbelievable. Most people don't know that. Now, it turns out that Jean-Pierre, she doesn't like you. We saw that, which is really shocking because her first, all I've seen is this woman lie. When she says she's going to be clear about something, you know a lie is coming. Mm-hmm. It's just constant spin. She's not honest with the American people. You know, I wasn't a fan of Psaki, but at least once in a while, she would just level with people. This woman has no capacity for that. She's clearly reading a script. She's very controlled. But the weird part about what she's doing to you, persecuting you, along with the woman from the NPR who's put up for you to be kicked out, she came on stage the first day and said she was the first lesbian Black immigrant. And I thought, oh, great, nobody can ever question her without being attacked. But the crazy part is that you're a Black immigrant and she's discriminating against you.
Yes. Because you see, the way Washington works is no one really cares about those things, right? In Washington, the main thing is power and money.
Right.
Two things. There's nothing else. Power, money. Even when the drug industry, you know, the booster shot, and maybe we get to that, it's about power, money, control. Nothing else. And so people use anything they can use. They use, you know, I'm gay, I'm lesbian, I'm Black. Right. But they don't really care about, you know, the gays and the lesbian, the Black who don't align with their narrative, right? Right. People right. who... If you are Black, for instance, and maybe you are a Black Republican, you know, they will actually describe you as not being Black.
Right.
You know, even though you are Black and Black as Black can be, they would describe you as not being Black. But if you're a Black person and you're a Democrat, then you embrace their narrative, you sing their praises, then you're a real Black. You know, you're a true Black person, which is really sad. So all those things were BS about, you know, I'm gay, I'm Black, I'm an immigrant, I'm a woman, I'm also Black, but she's discriminating against me. And she's discriminating against me only for one thing, for asking the right questions, for right. challenging her, for not sending my questions in advance, and for, you know, questioning some of the lies and propaganda. And I understand her job can be tough, right? As a press secretary, even when the president falls down, you need to say that he actually didn't touch the ground. Even, you know,
right.
even when something is red, you need to say it's actually Black and yellow. And so it can be a tough job because they tell her what to say. She's not in charge of everything in the White House. She's there, but she's the face of the White House in many ways, right? And so when you begin to lie the way she does, what happens is people lose trust, they lose respect, and your credibility is also lost. And I think that right now she's lost it, especially with the classified documents and inflation and trying to compare even the flying balloons and the Chinese spy balloons, and you know, the fact that they kept giving us different stories, and you know, she's lost that credibility. And when you do that, when you question them, when you ask tough questions, and it's not just me, I'm the most prominent face that people see, but there are other people in the White House who are not called on because they ask those tough questions once. Right. But some of them now are trying to, you know, go back to her and send her email questions in advance because they are not being called on and they need to do something. So they can't do their job anymore. They have to almost beg her and and send the questions that she wants you to send.
Yeah. And you know what? The sad part about that is they stopped doing their job a long time ago when it comes to they're supposed to be serving the American people, not Jean-Pierre or Biden. And that is the scariest part to most people is they don't trust anything she's saying. And at the same time, people are on to the fact that the fact checkers and the regularly called on press is no longer the press. They are really just mouthpieces, if not of intelligence, then certainly of the regime. Now, I want to get into something a lot of people don't talk about. You at one time, I remember she stormed out. It was very embarrassing for her because you asked something very important. And I've done a couple shows on it. The American people have no idea. It's as if Africa doesn't exist, which would make you, if I was in the White House, way more important because you're actually the only correspondent from Africa covering Africa. And like you said, you have decades of experience. You've dealt with pirates and almost being killed and jailed. I mean, you're a real journalist that has fought the good fight. But there's a lot going on in Africa, and the American people have no idea that when we had the Africa summit, which you asked about, which I feel like was the first time that they were like, we got to get rid of this guy. I really do feel like they were like, we will not go there. But Anthony Blinken had just been in Africa. I know Yellen's gone there, Burns from the, you know, the CIA, all these people. What people don't know is that, in my opinion, and I'm curious your opinion, the U.S., the U.N., and the IMF, all these people for decades have told the American people that we need to give money and keep helping Africa because it's a developing nation. But what they don't realize is that Africa has been a developing nation, and they've been, you know, manipulating us with emotion and compassion and empathy for decades as billions of dollars get poured into Africa and Africa never develops. And it always remains undeveloped. But also at the same time, there's foreign nations and the IMF and others going in there and taking their resources and yet not giving back to the people. And my question is, A, I think it's really dangerous that the American people don't know any of this. And B, it appears to me that Africa and the African nations that are empowered and are not no longer at least have purged their puppets that have been put in there by these people are starting to turn on America and go to foreign nations to actually help them finally develop.
Yes. So the first lady, you know, Jill Biden just returned from Africa. The vice president, Kamala Harris, she's going to Africa this month. The secretary of state is going to Africa this week. And I think today or tomorrow.
Right.
And they're trying to catch up because they realize that they are losing ground. And they knew it in March last year. You know, in March last year, they had this vote at the UN, at the United Nations.
Right.
And the US realized that a lot of African nations didn't back them up when it came to opposing the war in Ukraine. And so what they did was to unveil the US-Africa summit in August and also organize the US-Africa Leaders Summit, the second US-Africa Leaders Summit in December. That summit in December, between December 13 and December 15 here in Washington, D.C., had 50 African leaders. Africa has between 54 and 55 nations. So if you have 49 African leaders plus the head of the African Union. So if you have roughly African president, prime ministers in D.C., what that means is you have almost the entire continent of Africa in the U.S. and in Washington, D.C. in one place. It was a chaotic time because, you know, all the roads were blocked. People couldn't go anywhere. Now, if the president is receiving almost all the presidents of Africa in the U.S. in Washington, D.C., and the guy who is covering Africa for the U.S. is in the White House. Sure. And you can't even give that person one question to ask about the summit they've been covering for the past 2 months. Because long before everyone talked about the summit, that's like our beat. Today, News Africa focuses on U.S.-Africa relations and ties, interaction, anything between US and Africa. We don't focus on every single thing happening in Africa, and we don't focus on every single thing happening in the US.
Right.
We focus on that intersection between the US and Africa. So I'm covering the White House for Africa. The president is receiving almost all the presidents of Africa in the US, and the press secretary cannot even give me or anyone who is from Africa a question to ask on the summit. You know, it shows you the level of discrimination and disdain and disrespect. And it also shows you the hypocrisy, right? You are receiving people who are stealing money. A lot of them are extremely corrupt people.
Right.
So you receive those corrupt people in Washington. And the person who is trying to be honest and doing the right thing, asking the right question, representing the people, you actually don't, you sideline them, you disrespect them. What you are doing is so alarming and outrageous, right? Because you're actually not representing the people. Right. You are empowering people who are already controversial in their own countries. And the worst thing, when I went to that summit, you know, the journalists were downstairs and these leaders were upstairs. And we had access to food on the first day, right? Because these people flew from all kinds of places and all the roads were blocked. They had money to go and buy their own food, but everywhere was closed around that place. So they decided to provide some food for the journalists. That food was nothing. It was great. People had something to chew. Then I went upstairs where the president were. These are the corrupt people. So right. They gave them the best food and the best. Everything was great for people who are already corrupt. So right. The U.S. is losing ground. China is expanding. Russia is expanding. The people that the U.S. actually considers as their own competitors, right? They're expanding ground, they're gaining ground, they're buying asset, they're buying the people in power, and the U.S. is here. And the person who is trying to strengthen U.S.-Africa relation through the dissemination of accurate and relevant information, you fight them, you fight that person, you go against them, you kick them out of the White House Correspondents Association. And the people in China, in Russia, they are still members of the WACA.
Right.
They're
right.
Members of the WACA. The people who left the White House 20 years ago, journalists who were covering the White House 20 years ago, right. They are still members of WACA. And the reason they also removed me is because next month, there will be that big dinner. You know, every right. year they yeah. have this White House Correspondents Association dinner where the president comes and they do right. they make jokes. And, you know, Tamara Kidd, the NPR lady who is the president of the WACA at the moment, she will give a speech. And that's like the highlight of her whole career. And she didn't want to have Simon Ateba there. They don't want to have. So I can't even buy a ticket. Even though the people who are not covering the White House, the people who are not at the White House once in a year, we'll be at that dinner with the president. I don't care about the food, but, you know, that dinner is a place where you meet people.
Right,
you connect
course.
With, you know, different people. It's, yeah. You know, bring people together. So even though I have attended more press briefings than every single person in that briefing room, because I go every single day. A lot of them come once a week because they have two or three people covering the White House. It's too much for one person to cover. Right. And so they have to have two or three people covering the White House. But I'm the only one covering the White House, so I'm there every single day. And it's a shame that the U.S. Can descend to that level under the Biden administration.
Yeah, but the other thing, that's when I first saw you, was when you were, because I was following, I've been following Africa for a long time, really, because I follow the money. And if you follow the IMF and World Bank and the color revolutions that have happened, all roads lead to, a lot of roads lead to the African people you're talking about, the corrupt people, because underneath that surface, I've been talking a lot, like Africa's population, if we did actually help develop Africa, gave them the technology for agriculture and water and gave them, you know, technology and advanced the civilization. First of all, it would be a huge booming boost to all economies because of trade. You know, there's just so many positives to actually developing Africa. But if people dig through what's gone on, especially since the beginning of the UN, it seems like a concerted effort to just control Africa, put in puppet leaders, steal their resources, never develop them. Because even in the last meeting that they had, the COP meeting, where they pretended to all be there, you know, cheering it on, a lot of African leaders didn't go. And what I noticed was that something is also going on with the BRICS nations are inviting the African leaders to them, which is they're getting away. If people, I mean, my audience knows, but the BRICS nations are the nations, Russia, South Africa, Brazil, China, India, they're getting away from the petrodollar. They're sick of the sanctions and all of this stuff. They're going a different way financially. Is it true that a lot of these African leaders, at least the ones that actually want to help their people and aren't on the payroll of the puppet masters, is it true that they are considering joining the BRICS nations and going that direction? Because what I heard is that a lot of them are also being told all these IMF loans, which is how they own nations, that they'll never be able to pay back, that the BRICS nations, in part of inviting a lot of these African leaders to join them, are also saying that they would give them amnesty for that.
Yeah. So I heard a few nations in Africa trying to join the BRICS nation, the BRICS. All I can say is most of them don't really care about those names, right? All they care about is to have money, make money.
Right.
And, you know, because it's extremely lucrative. Power is lucrative, a lot of money, billions of dollars. And the US and all the people who come don't actually care also, right? It's like, so next month we have the IMF World Bank and spring meetings in here in Washington, D.C. You have all the finance ministers and all the central bank governors all over the world who will be here in Washington, D.C., including all of them from Africa. But you know it's a scam, right? You give money to people. That money actually doesn't go to the people, doesn't go to build infrastructure, right. Doesn't go. A lot of them is being stolen. What do? And then you give them more. And now you are scared that China is also giving them money. So and if you don't give them those loans, China will give them the loan. And so you give them more money. And so there's no accountability. There's little accountability. The IMF tells me that they're actually doing accountability. But when you talk to people there, when you ask them where are the projects, especially people from the World Bank, you remember that you realize that it's just a scam, right? You know, it's a way to steal money.
Yeah.
And so no one in power really cares about, you know, this particular group or that particular group. But all I'm saying is, what about the people?
Right.
The real people, right? Because what happens is the IMF, the World Bank connive with African leaders. And right. Who owns the IMF? Who owns the World Bank?
Right.
You know, it's the people here who owns those institutions that actually help to impoverish Africa.
Yeah,
they're not helping Africa. And so I don't know. I don't know the way out. Right. Like, you know, it's like, let's take a step back. So you are a journalist, you are honest, you try to do the right thing, you try to ask the right question and get the right focus and make sure that US-Africa relations are strengthened through the dissemination of accurate information. You don't have money. You try to raise money for your publication through donation, through advertisement. Right. It doesn't always come.
Right. But
then the corrupt people come to DC. Then they have the red carpet for them. They give them all the respect. And they actually punish the guy who actually represents the people. And that's how even the White House works. You know, it's the same people, the same group of people. And in the end, you know, you realize that it's really hard for the little guy to actually gain anything from those systems, from the IMF, from the World Bank, from the White House, and from the system we have now. And when you go against the system, what happens to you is this. They will describe you as being the author of disinformation and misinformation, a conspiracy theorist. And then they will describe you as disrespectful and then they won't advertise in your publication and they will make sure that you don't get any money. And so when you don't have money, your publication closes because you can't sustain it. And we end up with the same system.
Honestly, I think that, again, don't forget right now, they're calling Tucker Carlson a conspiracy theorist and demanding he be taken off of Fox. So, you know, you're in good company. But I have to be honest, Today News Africa is the only paper that is reporting from America for the people of Africa. You know, that's why it's like, well, who cares about, you know, the American people or this? You are in America covering America for billions of people that have no access to America, that care about Africa, that live in Africa, that invest in Africa. I have a friend that I've had on a couple of times. They've been trying to build a dam in Ethiopia for 20 years. And again, the money comes in and it disappears.
Yeah,
you know, like I have friends that have been trying to make wells all over. You know, there's plenty of technology for a lot of desert land in Africa to be farmed. If it can be happen in Israel, it should be happening all over Africa. But this is by design. They're keeping Africa down. And you're the one voice in D.C. actually talking for the African people, asking questions they want answers to.
And actually, in the White House, I remember during the Tigray conflict in Ethiopia, right? That's the biggest conflict in the world. Not the Ukraine conflict where billions and billions of dollars are going. The UN itself says that 600,000 people were killed there between 2020 and 2022, right? 600,000 people. And they're not having the assistance and the help and the billions and the billions, you know. So, and I was this guy in the White House asking them, hey, what do you do for the, you know, another 1,000 people were displaced today. And I mean, if the war in Ukraine has to do with the people.
The people, right.
If it has to do with the suffering and the tragedy and, you know, the children and the women, you know, the way we like to, people who are affected are women and children.
Right.
Then more attention will be focused on Ethiopia. But what we realize is more attention is not focused in Ethiopia. People are dying. No one is going there. No one is. So I was that guy in the White House asking, you know, challenging them about the double standard. And also trade is an important thing, right?
Right.
That what the U.S. needs to do is to increase trade between U.S. and Africa. They're trying to wake up now. In 2021 or 2022, I think June last year, they announced that they will invest almost $600 billion in the next 5 years.
Right.
But that's because China is already everywhere, building roads, building bridges, building infrastructure, and not even believing in democracy. They don't care, right? And that's why we are trying to focus and strengthen ties between US and Africa, because we understand that even though the US is not perfect, the US is still, the American system is still one of the least
corrupt. Least evil.
The least evil, right? It's not perfect.
Yeah. But
because I don't want to be in a country where one guy has all the power, like in China. I want to be in a country, and that's why I'm the US. I want to live in the US and be able to travel all over the world, assist people. I want to be in a country where I can actually be free to think, be free to invent, be free to, you know, create things. And that country is still the US for now. That's why everyone wants to come to the US, even those who blast the US. The US is still a great country, but the system that impoverishes Africa and many countries around the world, it's also embedded in the US, the IMF and the World Bank and the Paris Club and systems. And so, but I still believe that, you know, I need to strengthen ties between US and Africa by doing the right thing. But when you do it, they come after you, they try to get you, kick you out of the White House, because they don't really understand what's going on.
They don't want people to understand what's going on. There's a war in Yemen. There's horrible things happening in Ethiopia. We don't even know about a lot of other stuff going on. We know that there's a lot of looting of mines and stuff with children, with the cobalt and all that, and the lithium. But, you know, there's so much. And again, instead of letting the African nations, first of all, they put in a lot of puppets. So a lot of the leaders are owned by the IMF and multinational corporations as well. So you're not getting people, because if you had some good leaders in Africa that actually said, no, this is our natural resources on our land, and we're going to put it back, that money that we're making, helping to mine it back into Africa, then, you know, a lot would happen. But they've got such a stronghold. And Simon, you're the only voice out in D.C. It seems to me like it should be against the law, illegal, against the Constitution to shut up, silence, and expel the one man that's representing an entire continent in D.C. It is shocking to me. Now, let me ask you. There's other people from other nations, I'm sure, that are being treated terribly as well. I'm assuming any of the correspondents, I think the Russians have been kicked out. But, you know, there are other correspondents from Iran, from all over the Middle East, I'm sure, South America, that are also treated pretty bad in this world. Do you see this happening to, I mean, I know you're being singled out, but honestly, you're being more brave, and you have a continent full of people that are not getting the truth and are being honestly undermined by a lot of the foreign policy. Do you see this from other nations that are kind of, you know, journalists from other nations being treated kind of like they don't deserve a voice either?
So I don't personally know any Russian or pro-Russian government person.
I think they're all kicked out.
It's not even there. Right. And the Chinese also, most people covering China, you can actually have pro-Chinese.
Right, exactly.
You know, it, most people who are maybe Chinese-American, they are like dissident.
Right.
People who don't even like China in the first place.
Right.
And I know one person from Afghanistan who doesn't also like the government there. So it's the...
So the correspondents are kind of working still for us. I mean, they're more putting out, because at this point, I mean, the mainstream media is propaganda, like you said. The misinformation, yeah. Disinformation is coming from above, even our government, totally just about a narrative. Now, but, you know, you have to keep going, because I believe that what you're talking, I cannot believe that the American press, not you and sometimes Tucker, doesn't even acknowledge that Africa exists. And from what I'm seeing, Africa's population is going to override probably the rest of the world totally about 10 years.
1.3, 1.4 billion people right now. And it's growing. It's young. And it's a big market.
Right? Yes.
The U.S. has to do business in Africa.
What I wanted to say, though, one last thing. You were there while Donald Trump was there as well, correct?
Yes, I was on and off, and I wasn't there every day because, you know, I was told that he's the bad guy, he's the evil guy, this is the guy who doesn't like the media, right? So I was there on and off. I will come when he's receiving maybe the president of Nigeria, the president of Turkey, or different events. I wasn't there, and then COVID came, and we didn't have press briefings as regular as now. So I came back when President Biden, the good guy, the guy who really cares about Blacks and the little people like me, you know, became president in 2021, only for me to discover that actually press had more access during President Trump than President Biden. Just to give you an example, President Biden has not come to the White House briefing room, press briefing room, to even for one to address the nation, never. You know that briefing room with the White House?
I can't even understand how this is allowed.
And this is third year. So if it doesn't come this year, it won't come next year, because next year you now have the election.
Right.
And I don't know if he's running again. So it's going to be tough. He's not been there. So even though President Trump had that antagonistic, you know, relationship with the media, but he loves the media. He has that, you know, he's a showman. People had more access.
Yeah. Well,
he was briefing more. He was taking questions. He wasn't just turning his back on the people. Even though he had an antagonistic relationship with them, he was taking their question. He was answering them. He was coming to the briefing room to take questions. President Biden has not come even once. He's had some press briefings, though, in the White House, but he's not come to the White House press briefing room even President Obama was there, he was coming regularly, President Trump was coming regularly, other presidents also were coming, but he has not come even once.
Yeah, well, we've seen his cheat sheet on who he can call on, so I don't know if those were really press briefings or plays, but that's the truth, and it shows a lack of respect. I've seen videos of him laughing at the press while his handlers kicked them out, yelling and screaming at them.
If I can quickly say this, so
yes,
the press briefing yesterday, right, in the White House, it wasn't the press briefing room, but he addressed the nation yesterday. So the second biggest bank collapse in the nation since 2008.
Right.
So the second biggest bank collapses, and then the president has to address the nation. What do you expect? You expect him to reassure the nation and take questions. What did he do? He just came, read his statement, and then left. You know, when people had questions, he left when you have the biggest financial crisis in the making, right?
Yeah.
And so that didn't show someone who really wanted to reassure the nation. Some people who watched the press briefing said that they didn't see a leader who reassured the nation. And by saying what I just said now, I won't be called on again in the White House. So, and I always believe that these things happen in Africa, in China, in Russia, in places where you still have, you know, strong men in power. But I always believe that in the US, you know, people are allowed to say what they want and tweet what they want. But I've learned that, you know, even on Twitter, on the social media, if you say some things, they ban you, they cancel you. And now the cancellation is happening to me at the White House. Again, Simon Atiba is not the only one in the White House, you know, facing these things. But, yeah, you know, I become the face because, as you said, I've been bold, I've been brave. I've yelled out questions when I realized I've spent 2 months and no one is calling on me.
Wow, you were covering, you're African. You were covering the African summit. You did, you should have been the first person on the list for a question that is just truth. I mean, truth. This is a post-truth world right now. Law and order, accountability, it's all thrown out the window. I don't even think DC is functioning by the Constitution or the Bill of Rights at this point. I mean, we just saw last week Matt Taibbi and Schellenberger being totally abused. They're Democrats being totally abused by this DC machine for being journalists. I mean, this is getting worse. I mean, we're all watching what happened to Julian Assange still to this day. But I mean, when it's happening in our White House press briefing room to you, I think people really need to open their eyes because, you know, it's sad and it's, I do believe that there's going to be backlash, though. I do have hope for America, even though it looks really bad right now. Mm-hmm. I just feel like they overplayed their hand in the totalitarian push. And I think it's backfiring. Now, I have so much to talk to you about, but I want to ask you one more thing, because you put out a lot of stuff, I know, on Twitter, where you asked for public opinion from the American people. And I know that a lot of people respond to you. We'll give your links again because people should follow you. But you ask about pop culture. You asked about just the Oscars. You ask about, you know, whatever's going on in the news. You're a real journalist. You want to get like a cross section of what's happening in America because you don't play a side. You're not, you know, on one side or the other. How do you feel the American people, at least from the feedback you're getting, do you feel like they're at a point where they kind of get that we have a uniparty and America's not functioning properly at the moment?
So a lot of people are exhausted. I receive sometimes 10,000 comments when I tweet. I have two Twitter accounts, my personal Twitter account where, you know, I ask personal opinion. I want to hear from the people. And then todaynewsafrica.com has a website, and at Today News Africa also is the Twitter handle for, you know, for Today News Africa. So there we share things that have to do with US-Africa relations. But on my personal handle, I just use it to get a feedback from the American people. And people are exhausted. People see the divisions, the double standard, the fact that one person should be tried and the other person should not. Right. And the fact that even when is an election that saw millions of people sending ballots to voting centers, but didn't actually go to the voting center, people would question those ballots, right? People would feel like, you know, we need to, can we trust this process? Instead of reassuring the people, what we do instead is to label them as election deniers and conspiracy theories and liars, and we don't actually. So because the politicians seems to fail to bridge that gap, what I get from the people is that the country is getting more divided under this particular administration.
Yeah. I wonder if it's getting more divided, or I just wonder if it's getting more divided or that more people are checking out. Because I think people in America are very demoralized. They feel like it doesn't, like there's nothing they can do. Like the government and the politicians are just so gone and bought and paid for that they don't care. And that's a bad place to be. So I'm just hoping that we get to a point, at least maybe this financial thing. And then I think there's going to be a food issue. And I think it's just going to get to a point where people give up playing like one side or the other. And just all my hope is that left of center and right of center, I'd say about 60% of the Americans at some point will all become Americans. just realized, like, we all have a problem.
Yeah, you know, the third party, no labels, right? They've now gained access to, they will be on the presidential ballot in at least 3 states.
Right.
But, you know, the people who commented when I asked people, what do you make of no labels, you know, the new political party?
Right.
People were like, okay, they can't win. They stand no chance because they won't have any money for advertisement, you know, to be able to campaign. No one will give them money. So that's what happens to people who are also independent, right?
Yeah.
When you're an independent newspaper like me, what happens to you is you realize that you don't get the money. You don't get the advertisement. And at some point, you begin to question it. Is this really the right thing? You know, why should I do the right thing and be hungry? Why should I do the right thing and my company, you know, shuts down. Why? And so I'm not there yet, but I'm almost there where you're exhausted, tired of doing the right thing. And that's what the American people feel right now. They're exhausted, tired of doing the right thing and seeing government after government and not actually doing the right thing. They don't see the benefit. They have a lot of talk around them. When those people come to power, eventually they realize that nothing is actually achieved here in Washington, D.C.
Right. And what you said about your publication as well is true for, I know a lot of people who even, you can't even get into the primaries in America unless you pick a side because of the money. And then once you get in, you have to pick a side because independents aren't even involved until the actual election. My friend always says it's the system, not the flaw, that the system set up from the beginning to be totally controlled by money on the outside. So again, we can't let that happen with journalism. So we got to keep you going. Tell everyone where they can find you, where they can find Today News Africa, how they can follow you, and also how they can help you by subscribing or donations or whatever. We need to keep you going. And God forbid you actually end up not being in the press corps. You need to end up somewhere where you are paid handsomely by a good outlet that is brave. And there's a few I can think of that you should definitely be picked up by. So go ahead, tell everyone how to support you and follow you.
So first thing, you can go to my Twitter handle is very active.
Yeah.
At Simon Ateba, Simon, S-I-M-O-N. Ateba is A-T-E-B-A. And you can also join me on Substack, simonateba.substack.com. Or you can read us on our website, todaynewsafrica.com. Or you can also follow our Twitter handle at Today News Africa.
Great. And is there a subscription model to both Substack and the website?
Yes, you can subscribe for the website or Substack. The reason I started the Substack is because I realized I have, you know, my personal opinion. I can't publish them on Today News Africa because, you know, those are U.S., that's for U.S.-Africa relations, but I can have a place where I can air my own opinions.
Yeah, and I love your opinion, by the way. So people should go over and subscribe to Substack. Well, you're not controlled. It's very nice to see somebody's opinions who's not American, who's living here and seeing everything from the inside out and isn't controlled or controlled opposition either. So, Simon, I'm a huge fan of you. Everyone, please go subscribe to his Substack, support him, and make it heard that it's not okay to kick out a great journalist from a foreign nation because you don't like what they're saying. That's not what this country should be about. And I really appreciate your work. Keep fighting. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Hey, it's Andrew Sorcini at Beverly Hills Precious Metals. I'm here at the Mel K Show. Last year, we helped so many patriots out there protect themselves against inflation with gold and silver. In 2023, we can show you how to preserve what you have, avoid further loss, and position you for greater things for your investments. So the best way for us to help you is for you to go to melkgold.com, fill out the online form, and put in as much information about yourself as you possibly can. The more information, the more we can help you. So do it right away. The time is crucial as we head into central bank digital currencies. We can show you how to protect your 401k or your IRA, and the costs are minimal.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and my employees and I want to thank each and every one of you for your continued support. With everything going on right now, your rest is so important. That's why we're having the biggest MyPillow sale ever. Not only are my bed pillows as low as $19.98, but you can get the best body pillows ever. Regular $89.98, now only $29.98. Take your rest on the go with our Roll and Go Anywhere My Pillows for only $14.98. And we have our new couch and accent pillows. They aren't just for looks. They have MyPillow's patented adjustable fill that gives you that amazing MyPillow comfort. In this economy, you get the best gifts ever for the best prices ever. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code and you get deep discounts on body, couch, bolster pillows, and so much more, including my original bed pillows for as low as $19.98. Please order now while quantities last.
Hello, Patriot Pals. I wanted to talk to you a little bit today about our amazing partner, Mel K Superfoods. A lot of people do the food prep programs that they come in, you know, freeze-dried and all of that. This is not that. This is a full serving of fruits and vegetables and protein. It is a way to maintain a healthy diet no matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, no matter what happens in this country, because again, it's very affordable and at the same time, it's very easy to follow, and it is like having a full garden outside your house that you're going and picking fresh fruit and fresh vegetables every single day. You have that same nutrients inside your cupboard. You know, prepare now, be ready. A lot of people do prepping stuff. This is an excellent way to prep to make sure that you and your family always have the essential nutrients that you need to live a healthy, full life out there. Please check out Mel K Superfoods. We're loving the program. We'd love for you to join us. Please get in touch with the show if you're having benefits from the Superfoods program at Mel K Superfoods. We'd love to hear from you. Go to MelKSuperfoods.com and join me in supercharging our wellness journey and living our best, healthiest lives ahead.